I think I saw my first Christmas tree for sale at the store, and it's not even October yet. But that means that the great shopping season, the great shopping time of the year is upon us, and perhaps you are one of those brave souls that dares to go shopping on Black Friday. Although the last couple years, I think it's been Black Thursday, Black Wednesday, Black Tuesday, Black Monday, Black Sunday, and Black October, maybe. But we all have seen the stories on the news come Saturday morning about how the crowd was ready to get into Walmart at midnight, whenever it opened, for the special deal where the first five people would get a plasma television or a free tablet or a free phone. And so the moment the doors open, somebody inevitably gets trampled as they all rush to the same place. Everybody grabs the TV first, and then somebody punches so-and-so in the face because, I got there first, or how somebody had something in their cart, they're walking along, and somebody just helped themselves to it. About how there was a struggle over, well, this is on sale, and this isn't on sale, and I want this deal, and I want this deal, and I want that TV, and I want that TV. And inevitably, somebody gets hurt because there is a fight, there is an urge, there is the striving to get the deal that nobody else can get. And then we have those wonderful car commercials, where so-and-so's got a bloody and bruised face and all the stuff in the back of the car and says, oh, I made out, I got all this stuff. And then the person says, well, what did you get? I stayed home and bought a car. But we all know what it is like to run the rat race, to try to get ahead. Every day is a Black Friday in our world where we want to make sure that we get our fair entitlement to everything that we are entitled to, that we get our TVs, that we get our cars, that we get our deals and our sales and our rights, that we make sure that we get everything that we deserve and more, even if that means I have to punch you in the face and steal it out of your cart. Perhaps then you can understand the 12 disciples in our story this morning. Because James and John pulled Jesus aside, away from the other 10, and said, Lord, we want you to give us whatever we ask. Well, Jesus' reply is, what exactly are you looking for? And they said, make us first and second in your kingdom. The left hand and the right, the first in the kingdom and the second in the kingdom. The right hand is the vice president, the left hand is the vice president. Well, they're just doing their duty as humans, right? They're pulling Jesus aside to make sure that they get the deal, that they get the TV before everybody else gets the TV. They're pulled Jesus aside to make sure that me and my brother are going to have more than these other 10 yahoos over here. Well, naturally, the 10 see James and John over here schmoozing Jesus, trying to get something, and naturally they do what we would expect them to do. They start complaining. They're angry, they're indignant, they're furious. Lord, don't give it to them. They're playing you. You should give it to me. You should make me first and second in the kingdom of God. So you've got 12 disciples all trying to be first and second, the greatest in the kingdom of God. Now Jesus says, y'all don't know what you're asking for. Do you want to drink from the cup that I have to drink? Now, Jesus is talking about his pain and his suffering. He's talking about the cup of poison that the world is going to hand him. They think they're going to drink from the king's gold chalice. Oh, yeah. I got no problem drinking from that one. Yeah. Yeah, let me have that one. They don't realize Jesus is saying, do you want a drink of being crucified? He says, are you prepared to be baptized with my baptism? Oh, yeah, Lord, we're ready for the glory that's going to be yours. We're ready for the kingship that's going to be yours. Oh, yes, we're ready. But what is the baptism Jesus is immersed in? Of being accused, condemned, hanging naked on a tree? That's Jesus' baptism. They've got the wrong baptism. Jesus says, you will drink of my cup. Later in life, James and John do. But that's not the golden king's chalice. It's persecution. They are going to be baptized with Jesus' baptism, but that's later on in life. They've got it all wrong. They've got the wrong idea about what it means to be great in the kingdom of God. But Jesus answers their question. He says, I can't give you that spot because that spot is prepared for another. Could you imagine their jealousy? Could you imagine what they're thinking and feeling? Who took our spot? They gotta go. Well, you know who's prepared for the left and right of Jesus? It's the bandits. Crucified, one on his left and one on his right. Who's on the left hand and the right hand of Jesus when he comes into his kingdom? Thieves, robbers, insurrectionists. Do you think when they're standing there looking at the cross, they go, oh, I finally get it. I don't want that. But then the ten get mad because they want the left and right, not realizing that they completely misunderstand what it means to be great in the kingdom of God. And then he truly, as if it wasn't bad enough, Jesus truly blows them out of the water. He says, you want to be great in my kingdom, you're going to be a slave and a servant. Eh? A slave and a servant? No, we're meant to be kings and queens. Jesus then drops the proverbial atom bomb on them and on us. He says, you know how kings and queens operate in the world? You know how they love to lord it over others? You know how they love to have authority and power over others? You know how the world works, right? Not with you. Them, I expect it from. You, I expect to be different. To be servants and slaves of each other, not kings and queens, lording it over and authority over people. You want to be great in the kingdom of God, you must serve. Because Jesus reminds us, I came not to be served, but to serve and to lay down my life as a ransom for many. Black Friday reminds us of just how much we want to get ahead, how much more we desire, and how far we are willing to go to get it, what lengths we are prepared to do to get fortune and glory in our world. Because it is Christians in all parts of this world that are trying to get ahead of other Christians. Think of the game that we play every Sunday, trying to make sure that people come to our church instead of going to other ones. Thinking of how our building must be better in competition with the church down the street, where they've got one minister, this church has got two. If we've got a $125,000 budget, they've got $500,000. We've got 10 stained glass windows. They've got 20. They've got a choir of 50. They've got a choir of 100. This one's got a television station. This one's got a PayPal account. This one's got the internet. This one, I'm getting tired. But yet that's exactly wrong for what Jesus says. Jesus says it's not about getting ahead of others. It's in fact about getting behind. Serving others, bettering others, not trying to become better yourselves, not having power over people, but empowering other people. Not being first and second in the kingdom of God. He says, you truly want to be first in my kingdom, you got to be last. Could you imagine the look on their faces? I can, it's the look on yours. Because which of us doesn't want to get ahead? Which of us doesn't want more? More of this world, more than our neighbor, a better job that makes more money than this person over here, more grandkids, more trophies on the mantle, more pictures on Facebook, more knowledge, more books read, more money, more trips, more vacations. Which of us doesn't want more? And the reason we want more is because we've got the wrong idea of what it truly means to be great. It isn't about being better, or having more, being smarter, having better grandkids, better kids than other people, about having a bigger house. It isn't about comparing yourself to other people and always making sure that you are better. That might be how the world works, but disciples of Jesus Christ have a different idea of what it truly means to be great. It isn't about being better, it's about making people better. It isn't about having something that no one else has, it's making sure that everybody has enough. It isn't about having power and control over people so that you bark orders and they follow. It's about giving the power God has given to you and helping and empowering other people. In other words, if you're truly going to be great in the kingdom of God, you need to be Jesus's. Because he didn't come to be waited on, he came to wait on people. He didn't come to be served by kings and queens, he's the one doing the serving. He's the one who laid his life as a sacrifice to free you. He pours himself out. He empties himself. And if you're going to be great in the kingdom of God, shouldn't you do the same? To pour out your life for others? To sacrifice yourself for others? To make other people better? To empower other people? The problem is, you're not going to get ahead living that kind of life. If you try to live your life that way, you're not going to be a Black Friday, making sure you have more than your neighbor, making sure that you're ahead, that your family is better at sports, more educated. When you go to parties, you can brag because your kids go to Harvard where their kids go to Yale. To truly be great in the kingdom of God is about being servants and slaves of each other, not about lording it over like princes, presidents, and Congress people do. Well, if you're feeling like me, you're feeling about this thick. Because there's not one of us that hits that mark. There is not one of us that doesn't fall short of that. But Jesus doesn't give us this impossible standard. He doesn't throw us in the deep end and expect us to swim. He doesn't just teach us and give us what he wants. I ask you, does he not live his life exactly as he says? Did he not lay down his life to free you? Did he not serve you? Is he not still here in this room in the power of his Spirit to help, to strengthen? Is he not empowering you and bettering you? Is he not living inside of you? Then that means you've got hope. Because while we may not be able to do it by ourselves, through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, we can become little Christs. And that's why in God's kingdom, we become servants, because true greatness lies in that. So think of the Mother Teresas in our world. Are you going to find that in a store? Are you going to find that in the church? Are you not going to find people that are in slums ministering to poor people? Is it not Christians who have some of the finest hospitals in our world because they're trying to better and cure people? Look at all the Christian organizations that are in the church about helping people and bettering people, empowering people. Who are the ones fighting for justice if not Christians? They're not trying to get ahead of others. With Christ, they are bettering others. And in the kingdom of God, that makes them first, at the left hand and the right hand of Jesus. If Jesus can do that for them, why can't he do that for you? Why can't he do that for you? Well, you probably don't want him to, because you're still trying to get ahead. You're not trying to get behind. You're still trying to be better, not be worse. You're still trying to be lords over your own kingdoms, not letting Jesus be king of his kingdom. But my friends, the hope is for you that through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, you can be little Christs. Because in the hands of Christ, you can do anything. You can be anything. You are more than happy with Jesus to be last and put others first, even at the expense of ourselves. So, my friends, there should never be a Black Friday in church. There should never be one person trying to get more than another. There should not be one church trying to get ahead of another church. What should there be? There should be a church of people helping each other, bettering each other, laughing when there's time to laugh, sorrowing when there's time to sorrow. When somebody falls down, it is us who picks them up. When we are the ones who trip and stumble, it is the arms of our brothers and sisters that pick us up and help us carry on. When we are sick, it is other people's strengths. When we are poor, it is other people's riches. When we are in grief and in sorrow, it is their joy that leads us out of despair. Not because they're trying to get ahead of us, but because, in fact, they are putting us ahead of them. My friends, you know how the world works. Jesus says it isn't that way with you. I have made you different, says the Lord. It's time to act different. Let the world scramble for all the things of this world. You scramble to love one another. Let them fight over who gets the title, who gets to be in charge, who gets the trophy. Let them fight for that. The Lord says, you fight for love. You fight for dignity. You fight for respect. You fight for the person sitting next to you. Even if that means you must lay your life down, then you'll be my disciples. You want to be first, you better be last. You want to be the greatest, you better be the least. You want to be in my kingdom, you better be a slave to love. My friends, what are you going to choose? To run the rat race? By the way, it's a race you never win. There's always somebody smarter, somebody faster, somebody with more trophies, more records, more money, more vacations, more houses, more grandchildren. There's always somebody with more. Are you going to choose that world? Or are you going to choose the world of the kingdom of God, where there is love and peace, joy and unity, where there is community, where we put others ahead of ourselves? Do you want to be in the kingdom of God where you refuse to play the game? Or do you play the game of Black Friday and the insatiable urge to get more? Those are the two worlds we must choose every moment of every day. Jesus says, you know how they are. I know how you are. So, my friends, we must choose the life that we live. Whether we're going to be great in the kingdom of this world or we're going to truly be great in the kingdom of God. That's the choice put before you. Your hope is Jesus has already made that choice for you. He has chosen to bring you into his Father's kingdom. So my friends, stay there. Stop playing the game of Black Friday. And instead, put other people before you, ahead of you, to be better than you. And you will truly find that you are at long last the human beings God has made you to be. You will find at long last that you are sons and daughters of God. And that is what it truly means to be a great person. The question lies before you. I hope and pray you make the faithful one.